to this special Best of 2025 edition of A Day at DPL podcast. Join us as DPL's founder and CEO, David Lau, discusses industry trends and best practices with thought leaders across the RIA ecosystem to provide advisors with insights to grow their business and better serve clients. This episode examines the array of growth opportunities for RIAs. Indivisible Partners founder and industry veteran John Thiel and David delve into how consolidation, driven by the need to provide greater and more complex client services, is changing the landscape of the RIA space. Topics include how RIAs are managing growth, providing specialized expertise, and most critically, addressing the looming crisis of an aging workforce, with over a third of advisors expected to retire in the next decade.
One of the positive things in many ways I've seen happening, you know, in the RIA space is really the advent of bigger firms. And it's not that there's anything wrong with small firms. You know, smaller boutique firms will always have a place and their clients will always want that. But in many ways, what I've seen is 20 years ago, a billion-dollar firm was a big firm in the RIA channel. Now today, I don't know what you'd consider a big firm, 25 billion maybe. You know, might be considered a big firm. But what's happened is the expansion of services for clients. So, you know, when you have a small firm that has five employees, you know, it's hard to have all the diverse expertise you need to serve all the different client needs. And it's not that they can't deliver the services, though they can outsource and, you know, and find partners. And we partner with many of those firms in great ways. But I think having, you know, building a firm and having a, you know, broader set of expertise has really been a big trend we've seen in the RIA channel.
Well, it's the way I look at it, to unpack all that, the easiest way for me to think about it is our clients bring complexities and they're varied and different depending on the client. And you need to have either on that particular team or available in the organization, the capability to face off against that complexity. And that's really critical, I think, in delivering the best chance to deliver the, you know, on the outcomes that that client wants. And it's necessary. So whether that be tax, estate planning, or more blending, more sophisticated, you know, investment solutions, whatever that might be, the clients have the complexities. We owe it to them to make sure that we have the capabilities to really to help them address those complexities.
Absolutely. And so what do you see happening in the RIA channel? We're in the RIA channel, you know, a lot of people say the world's cyclical, right? The same thing happens, maybe just a little bit of a different iteration. I think if you look at the wirehouse channel, you'll probably know better than me, but the name of Merrill Lynch isn't Merrill Lynch. It's Merrill Lynch and like six other last names, right? It wound up being something that was a result of a lot of consolidation and acquisition. Do you see the same thing, you know, happening in the RIA space? I mean, obviously it's starting to go on, but do you see it getting to that type of scale?
I do. It's funny. In 2005, we had Moss Adams come speak to us about considering a alternate channel, which others had done, obviously being potential, you know, sort of quasi-independent. And I just recall turning to a colleague of mine and saying, you know, what's going to happen is they're going to go out and do this and they're going to get big and they're going to end up looking just like what it is that they ran from.
That's right.
And so it's come true.
That's right.
Right. And there's an enormous amount of capital ensuring that it's almost inevitable.
Yep.
Because of the aggregators and, you know, and private equities interest in our business. And that actually, when I talked to a lot of RIAs as we were putting this idea together, realizing how distracting it actually is, how many calls they get per week for them to sell or to monetize or to merge into other people. And it's happening and it's going to happen. And we operate it at scale. We know what it takes to operate at scale. And what we plan on doing is bringing all the benefits of scale without the lowest common denominator approach to running and supervising an organization, because that's ultimately what I think the risk is that you just have so much variability in the way people deliver that you end up having to limit the offering. And that is not at all what we plan to do. We are going to create that opportunity to to curate and be relevant to clients and not get to that point where we have to close down ideas.
Yeah, I think that like the experience that your team and you bring is really valuable because we get a pretty unique seat in working with many different firms and lots of the acquirers and aggregators, and many of them are outstanding, but they might be acquiring 20, 25 businesses a year, which is a different job than managing an RIA, right? And that's a very specific expertise, and doing that well is really, really difficult so that the client doesn't suffer, your operations don't suffer. That's a big challenge. But like you said, that's where the industry is driving right now. It's like a race.
And to complicate it, one of the reasons we did this, we saw a couple sort of lingering issues that we wanted to help address, which one was organic growth is a challenge. We think we're pretty good at helping teams grow. We have a long history of doing that. And the ways in which and the markets in which they can grow. But the other one really is this sort of lack of coherent succession plans for the reality of our advisor force, which is an aging advisor force. I mean, you know, McKinsey, they just put out that a third of the advisors will retire in the next 10 years. It's over 100,000 advisors. That's a substantial portion of the people that are out there working with clients. And so we are built to help them with that conversation and help them build and develop that next generation so that they ultimately realize the value of their life's work within their practice. But those are all challenges. And so not only are you transitioning these businesses into your business, but you better stop and make sure that they're prepared for the next event, which is them passing that business on to somebody else. And I think that the firm as a responsibility to help advisors do that well.
Next, Matt Regan, President and CEO of Wealthcare, and David dive into the trend of advisory firms relying on market performance for asset growth rather than sustainable organic growth campaigns for client acquisition. They highlight how successful firms prioritize holistic wealth management to drive client referrals while effectively using traditional engagement tactics to generate new leads.
I think a lot of advisors and firms have enjoyed the performance and rise of the market over the year. And so the firm has done really well because assets have grown in the market, but they're not growing organically in terms of new clients and new assets in the door, which is the long-term solution. What do you think like some of the more successful ones are doing?
Well, I mean, to your earlier point, I think as you provide more holistic wealth management services to your clients, getting away from that idea that you're a stock picker or you're an investment guy, and you really engage with your clients and get to know the whole financial picture and ensure great client outcomes, that's going to drive your referrals from existing clients, which is always going to be the low-hanging fruit. But we have advisors that do a fantastic job with social media, with events. It seems kind of old-fashioned, but the old rubber chicken dinner at the local restaurant, when you get 40 bums in the chairs and you ask everybody for a referral, that really works. It seems crazy, but it does work. And then again, on social media, we have a full marketing offering where we help these advisors to establish their brand, get out there on social media, do some marketing. That's a powerful tool that some advisors are really using to drive, you know, at least conversations, you know, their way so that they can turn them into clients down the road.
In this segment, marketing guru Meg Carpenter explains how effective RIA marketing goes beyond simple brand awareness to developing measurable lead generation programs focused on ROI. She and David also elaborate on why demonstrating true organic growth is a critical factor to maximizing your firm's valuation.
You know, a big misperception that people have about marketing, a lot of them think of it in terms of like brand marketing, like, you know, you're just getting your name out there and hoping people recognize. But there are so many tactical things that you can do that are very measurable, that you can understand the performance of, understand the return on your investment. And again, like you're saying, marketing done well, if you're getting the return that you design, that, okay, we know if we spend X amount to get a customer, that's a very profitable spend. It's like, well, for how long can we spend that amount of money and still get that return? And as long as we can do that, we should do it all day long,
Right. Yeah. And to go back to our earlier conversation about the leverage that you can get out of a dollar being, I think you can get more leverage as a smaller firm than a bigger firm. The bigger firms have more budget to put behind some of these lead generation efforts. And so they can afford to spend money to get a 2% conversion ratio. So if you have 100 leads that come in, you're going to convert two. Smaller firms don't have that privilege because they don't have the same manpower to work 100 leads to only close two. And most advisors who have built their business primarily based on referrals are not used to a 2% conversion ratio. So they get fatigued. It's a distraction from their what they do best. And so they give up. And so that's where I think the shift in mindset also has to happen with firms that are not these large national RIAs with big sophisticated marketing departments and, you know, 7-8 figure, 9-figure in some cases budgets, right? But there are a lot of opportunities to be very efficient with your marketing spend. And so to your point, it's like, if I can get an advisory firm in front of 10 qualified prospects and they can close 8, I don't care that it's only 10, right? I didn't have to get them in front of 100 to close 2. And so it's thinking about really like, how can you leverage the best of what the business is? How can you leverage the relationships, the influence that you have in your local community? And how can you essentially like augment that? And so there's really, really exciting things. And I don't mean to say that marketing doesn't work at these large national RIAs, because it does. Clearly, it works very, very well. It's just a totally different mindset. And so if you're a firm that is not a large national RIA platform and you're looking across the landscape and thinking, what should I do for marketing? I would say, don't look at those national firms, because that's, you're not going to be able to replicate it. You shouldn't want to, but look at the opportunities that you do have right in front of you. You know, don't step over a dollar to pick up a dime and focus on what you have.
Yeah. So we've really helped firms with organic growth in a different way. And one of the ways you mentioned, like a lot of the larger firms do when they acquire, you know, a firm that was smaller and maybe they didn't offer the breadth of services that would now be available. And we do it by offering products and services that firms might not have had available. So we can help with wallet share. We can help bring in held away assets, attract some new customers. And you really focus on organic growth from, you know, like truly, you know, finding those new customers. And they're both super valued things. You know, going back to the Echelon conference, they were talking about valuations of firms. So if you're thinking about selling your firm, you're showing organic growth is hugely valuable.
I think there's some data on that, like the multiple effect of having demonstrated scalable organic growth, whether it's the work that you're doing at DPL or other ways that you can build scale around your organic growth, but that definitely increases enterprise value. And that's what we see. That's sort of the journey that many of our clients are on. And it's not always to look for a capital partner, but there's always some goal of wanting there to be enterprise value that's fully maximized. And in order to have it fully maximized, marketing as a repeatable growth engine has to be a piece of that.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.